Our state is America's smallest, but it loomed large in the life of John F. Kennedy. From the time Kennedy was a young man, his life and family were shaped by experiences in Rhode Island. If any event forged the career of young Kennedy, it was his World War II heroics as a patrol torpedo lieutenant in the U.S. Navy. The year was 1942. Young men, even Ivy Leaguers like Harvard graduate Kennedy, hungered to enlist in the war effort. JFK was first given a desk job in Washington, preparing intelligence bulletins for the Secretary of the Navy. He was soon bored and aching for combat. Kennedy had a very bad back, which for any other young sailor would have ruled out an assignment in the Pacific. In what would become a lifelong trope, young Kennedy lied about his health. His father made some well-placed phone calls, and Kennedy got his wish. The PT Boat Service at the Motor Torpedo Boat Squadron Training Center at Melville in the Aquidneck Island community of Portsmouth. Kennedy was popular with his high-spirited Navy buddies. A son of wealth, he was one of a few trainees who owned a car. He was known to ferry the sailors to Newport and Providence to dance and meet women. The Bacchante Room at the Biltmore was a regular Saturday night stop for JFK and his crew. Kennedy's 1953 wedding to socialite Jacqueline Bouvier at St. Mary's Church in Newport was the social event of the season. A Tony reception for 800 was held at Hammersmith Farm, her family's summer home. During his presidency, Newport would often serve as the summer White House. His wife's stepbrother, Yusha Auchincloss, still lives in Newport. One of Mrs. Kennedy's bridesmaids was Sylvia Blake, aunt of Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. After losing her run for vice president on the 1956 Democratic ticket, Kennedy plotted to win the Democratic presidential nomination 4 years later. One of his tight circle of advisors became Rhode Island Governor Dennis Roberts, like Kennedy, an Irish Catholic. In 1959, the now Massachusetts senator made a big splash in Providence when he was the keynote speaker to the state's political elite at a huge St. Patrick's Day dinner. The next year, Kennedy was vying for the White House. Thousands thronged downtown Providence for his speech at Exchange Place. After his assassination, it was renamed Kennedy Plaza. As his motorcade drove to Hillsgrove Airport, it passed St. Matthew's School in Cranston, where the nuns had led the students to the sidewalk so they could see the man who would become the first Roman Catholic president. One of the fifth graders watching in awe was Jack Reed. In those days of lax presidential security, Kennedy was standing alone in a white Lincoln convertible, smiling. People were ecstatic, cheering as loud as they could, Reed recalls. He was not only a Catholic, he was a war hero, a senator, a neighbor. I can still visualize him waving. The next day, in one of the closest elections in the nation's history, Rhode Islanders gave the 43-year-old senator 64% of their votes, the highest percentage of any state. Kennedy's affinity for Rhode Island spilled into his presidency. The home movies at the JFK Library in Boston are revealing. They show the president and first lady sailing with their friends, Senator Claiborne Pell and his wife, Noella, with whom they shared cocktails and swapped stories. There is film of JFK's fluid swing off the tee at Newport Country Club and frolicking in the surf at Bailey's Beach with his children, Caroline and John F. Kennedy Jr., who would grow up to attend Brown University. He liked Newport a lot, recalled Mrs. Pell years later. One reason he liked Newport was because no one bothered him. No one came up to question him. He had a wicked sense of humor, so funny with a biting wit. Another close Rhode Island ally was Senator John Pastore, a crucial supporter in JFK's successful quest to ratify the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty of 1963. Pastore became a mentor for JFK's brother, Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy, who attended school at Portsmouth Abbey and whose son, Patrick Kennedy, would one day win election to Congress from the Ocean State. A month before the trip to Dallas, JFK pulled aside his friend Pell to request a favor. The president asked the senator to quietly arrange to rent a suitable place for a summer White House in August and September of 1964. Mr. Kennedy asked Pell to keep it under the radar because he wanted to surprise the First Lady. Annandale Farm, next door to Hammersmith Farm, was made available to the Kennedys for $2,000 a week. Kennedy was looking to the future, planning his 1964 re-election campaign.